السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وأصلي وأسلم على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين، نبينا وحبيبنا وقرة أعيننا محمد بن عبد الله، عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه أفضل الصلاة وأتم التسليم، أما بعد. All praise and thanks be to Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is no doubt our creator, sustainer, nourisher, protector and curer. We ask him subhanahu wa ta'ala to shower his choicest of blessings and salutations upon our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, his family members, his companions and all those who tread upon his path with utmost sincerity until the day of Qiyamah. My dear brothers and sisters in Islam, first and foremost, I advise myself and then all of you all present here to adopt a life of taqwa. And that is to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to be conscious of Him azza wa jal during every single second of our lives if we wish to attain success in this world as well as the hereafter. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us all from the people of taqwa. Ameen. So inshallah ta'ala, the topic for this evening is looking into the mirror. And we will be discussing accountability, where you look into the mirror and take account of yourself. Because we observe an unhealthy trend today, where at times we are very swift to judge others. We entertain judgmental thoughts about others in a very swift way. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us. So, like Umar radiallahu anhu, the genius, he is reported to have said, حَاسِبُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ قَبْلَ أَن تُحَاسَبُوا. Take account of yourselves before you are taken into account. So instead of entertaining judgmental thoughts about others, instead of judging others, I think we need to value the time that we have, take account of ourselves and work towards pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We also observe that there is a spectrum here where some of us are very swift to judge others. And then you have at the other end of the spectrum, the other end of the extreme, where there are those who are not ready to accept any advice from anybody. They very haughtily and very arrogantly at times state, only God can judge me. So don't come to advise me, only God can judge me. This is the other end of the spectrum. We have to strike a balance in the middle as Muslims, as believers, as followers of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Because after all, Amr bil Ma'roof wa Nahya anil Munkar, enjoining good and forbidding evil, is a great responsibility that weighs down upon our shoulders, each and every one of us. It is upon us to enjoin good and forbid evil. If we see someone sinning, if we see evil happening in front of us, we can't just keep quiet about it. It is upon us to stop it. So, and also we have the words of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ad-deenun nasiha. Deen is nasiha. Nasiha can be translated as sincerity, sincere advice. It is upon us to advise one another. And we also have to be individuals who can take in constructive criticism. Today what has happened is we find it very difficult to accept advice. You know, if someone tries to advise us, like I said, we very haughtily say things and shun that advice away. So, bearing all of this in mind, it is important that we strike a balance in the middle and that we keep taking account of ourselves, working on purifying our hearts. Because at the end of the day, a sound and a pure heart is the greatest thing a believer has to strive for. It is the greatest thing an individual can own. Because on the day of Qiyamah, what will happen? Allah Azza wa Jal, He states in the Noble Quran,
يوم لا ينفع مال ولا بنون إلا من أتى الله بقلب سليم.
It will be a day when your wealth will not avail you, your children will not avail you, none of this will benefit you. The only thing that will benefit you on that day, when you stand in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, will be your sound and pure heart. Imam Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah, who is also known as the specialist of hearts, he states that hearts are of three types. We have three types of hearts. The first type is known as al-qalbu salim, the sound, pure and healthy heart. The second type, al-qalb al-mayyit, the dead heart. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us all. And finally we have al-qalb al-mariyid, the heart that is riddled with sicknesses. And now when we talk about hearts, when we talk about sicknesses, we're not talking about cardiovascular diseases. We're talking about the spiritual heart, and we're talking about spiritual diseases, spiritual maladies, such as jealousy, anger, hatred, envy, rancor. At times our hearts are filled with all these undesirable attributes and qualities, resulting in our hearts becoming hard, resulting in our hearts distancing themselves away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, away from that which pleases Allah azza wa jal. Today, at times we judge others because we're jealous of others, because we envy others. And the minute jealousy comes in, anger comes in very easily, all these other undesirable attributes come in very swiftly, very quickly. And when we talk about jealousy, what does Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say? إِنَّ الْحَسَدَ يَأْكُلُ الْحَسَنَاتِ كَمَا تَأْكُلُ النَّارُ الْحَطَبُ. Indeed, jealousy destroys your good deeds. Indeed, jealousy just gobbles up your good deeds, just as how fire gobbles up dry firewood. You know, when you have firewood, you know, when I pass houses these days, you see chimneys, but I don't think anybody uses chimneys these days, do they? They all use the electric heaters, right? So talking about firewood, if you have dry firewood, if you light it up, the fire crackles and it gobbles up the firewood immediately. There's nothing left behind. Likewise, jealousy just destroys all of your good deeds. You know, we as believers, we strive so hard. We come to the masjid, we make it for our 5 daily salawat, we spend our money, we go on hajj, umrah, we give out zakah, we fast the month of Ramadan, we fast optional fasts, we read the Quran, we spend so much of time seeking knowledge. We're doing all of these good deeds for what? To please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But what's the point of doing all these good deeds and then harboring jealousy towards your brother or your sister, resulting in all of your good deeds being destroyed by that jealousy, by that element of jealousy? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect our hearts from elements of jealousy. Ameen. Talking about anger. Anger is another thing that comes in and results in you, you know, at times becoming jealous of others, results in you hating others, results in the ummah breaking into tiny pieces, tiny fragments, because of anger, because we harbor anger towards one another. These are all undesirable qualities. On the other hand, we are supposed to strive towards purifying our hearts, working on purifying our hearts. Al-Qalbu Salim, the first quality. We need to fill our hearts with good qualities, because at the end of the day, you have to also bear in mind that your heart is the seat of taqwa. Because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is reported to have said, التقوى ها هنا التقوى ها هنا التقوى ها هنا وأشار إلى صدره ثلاثة. He is reported to have pointed towards his chest and said, taqwa is over here, taqwa is over here, taqwa is over here. So taqwa is based in your heart, and taqwa controls your limbs, because your heart at the end of the day controls your limbs. So if you don't have taqwa in your heart, then your limbs are going to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Your faculties are going to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we're supposed to fill our hearts with taqwa, fill our hearts with the love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Imam Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah, he's reported to have said, إِذَا غُرِسَتْ شَجَرَةُ الْمَحَبَّةِ فِي الْقَلْبِ وَسُقِيَتْ بِمَاءِ الْإِخْلَاصِ وَمُتَابَعَةِ الْحَبِيبِ أثمرت أنواع الثمار وآتت أكلها كل حين بإذن ربها أصلها ثابت في قرار القلب وفرعها متصل بسدرة المنتهى. A beautiful and eloquent statement, very powerful indeed. If the tree of love is planted in your heart, now what love are we talking about here? The love between Layla and Majnun perhaps? The love between Romeo and Juliet? You see, you have many shades of love. We're talking about the love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for His beloved Rasul Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If that tree of love is planted in your heart, and if it is watered, وَسُقِيَتْ بِمَاءِ الْإِخْلَاصِ, if it is watered with the pure waters of ikhlas, وَمُتَابَعَةِ الْحَبِيبِ, and following of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, أَثْمَرَتْ أَنْوَاعَ الثِّمَارِ, that tree will start bearing amazing fruits. The roots of the tree will be strongly embedded in your heart, and its branches will reach Sidratul Muntaha, the utmost boundary where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went during Isra and Mi'raj. An amazing statement by Imam Al-Qayyim rahimahullah. Very powerful as well if you contemplate and think about it. Because when you talk about the love of Allah, sometimes you have certain individuals who say, I love Allah, I love Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But how do you prove your love, brother? How do you prove your love, sister? Allah Azza wa Jal says in the Noble Quran,
قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبَكُمُ اللَّهُ وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ وَاللَّهُ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ.
Say, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, tell them, إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ, if you love Allah, then prove it by فَاتَّبِعُونِي, follow me. يُحْبِبَكُمُ اللَّهُ, Allah will love you in return. وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ, and He will forgive you of your sins. وَاللَّهُ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ, Allah is the most forgiving, the most merciful. So my dear brothers and sisters in Islam, we really need to work on purifying our hearts so that our hearts absorb only goodness, and then acts of goodness, acts of ibadah, acts of obedience will start to manifest on our limbs. Acts that please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So let us strive to make sure that our hearts are of the first category, al-qalbu al-saleem, and not al-qalbu al-mayyit, which is the worst. Al-qalbu al-mareed is a sick heart that can be cured, insha'Allah ta'ala. But al-qalbu al-mayyit is a dead heart, a blackened heart, a heart that cannot absorb goodness. When the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are read, tears do not sprout, emotions are not awakened in that individual. He feels as if he is like a stone. At times even he might shun away the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the words of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because his or her heart is dead. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us all. So moving further, our hearts need to be free of five factors to make sure that our hearts are sound and healthy. Five important factors. Let me swiftly run through the factors. I won't go into great detail because after all time is of the essence, and due to its brevity we'll try to keep it short, inshallah ta'ala. Number one, shirk. Your heart needs to be free of shirk that nullifies the pure tawheed that is in your heart. And when we talk about shirk, we have major shirk and minor shirk. Major shirk is obvious and I think we all know about it. But minor shirk, some of us tend to remain oblivious about it. Major shirk in the sense, it is associating a partner to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To worship a god apart from Allah or along with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We as believers have borne witness that there is no deity worthy of worship other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we do not associate partners unto Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But in terms of minor shirk, say for example, if you believe that it is my job that provides me sustenance, if it is my business that provides me sustenance, if it is my shop that provides me sustenance, if it is my degree that is providing me sustenance, then you are committing minor shirk. You are associating something with Allah Azza wa Jal. Because at the end of the day, it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who provides for you. It is not your job, it is not your business, those are just mere asbab. Those are mere reasons, mere ways for you to get your provision. But at the end of the day, it is Allah who provides. So in no way should we associate anything unto Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So our hearts need to be free from shirk. Don't let the devil, love. Don't let the devil push in elements of shirk into your heart. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us all from elements of shirk. Ameen. So number one, shirk. So I'll be asking you all for the list, inshallah ta'ala. So just checking whether you all are awake or not. Yeah. So number one, shirk. Number two is bid'ah. Your hearts need to be free from bid'ah. Bid'ah in the sense innovations. Innovating something in the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as we all know, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is reported to have said that إِنَّ شَرَّ الْأُمُورِ مُحْدَثَاتُهَا, that the worst of deeds or the worst of matters in terms of matters related to the deen are the newly invented matters. And every newly invented matter is an innovation, is a bid'ah. And every bid'ah is in the blazing fire of Jahannam. May Allah save us all. So we have to stay away from innovations. We prove our love for Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam by following the authentic sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We stay away from innovations. The more we indulge in innovations, the devil makes us think, oh, we are doing something good. You're doing this innovation to prove your love for Allah. You're doing this innovation to prove your love for Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But you don't realize that your heart is hardening by the day and you distance yourself further and further away from Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So number one, what was it? What did we say? Shirk. Number two? Bid'ah. So we stay away from shirk and we stay away from bid'ah. Number three, we stay away from ghafla. We stay away from ghafla. Ghafla in the sense, heedlessness. Where we remain heedless of the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we should stay away from this. Where we remain heedless of the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we should stay away from this. Instead, we should ponder on the words of our Maker subhanahu wa ta'ala. What does He say in the Noble Quran? أَفَلَا يَتَدَبَّرُونَ الْقُرْآنَ He asks, do they not ponder on the Quran? Do they not ponder on the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? أَمْ عَلَى قُلُوبٍ أَقْفَالُهَا Or have they got locks on their hearts? A rhetorical question. Or have their hearts been sealed up? So as you can see, there is a direct connection. If you cannot ponder on the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that means your heart has hardened. Your heart is all locked up. Your heart is sealed. But if you can ponder, if you can reflect, if you can contemplate, then alhamdulillah, your heart is soft and supple. Your heart is healthy. Allah Azza wa Jalla did not say, أَفَلَا يَسْمَعُونَ الْقُرْآنَ Do they not listen to the Qur'an? أَفَلَا يَقْرَأُونَ الْقُرْآنَ Do they not read the Qur'an? Instead, Allah Azza wa Jalla states, أَفَلَا يَتَدَبَّرُونَ الْقُرْآنَ Do they not make tadabbur over the Qur'an? So we're supposed to read the Qur'an not by just merely paying lip service, not repeating it like a parrot. Instead, you need to study the Qur'an. Read the Qur'an in such a way that you ponder on its meanings, ponder on its grandness, on the power of the words of our Maker. We need to reflect on the ayat, on the verses of the Qur'an. Likewise, reflect on the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Look around you. There are so many signs to indicate the grandness and the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. At times, you don't even have to look around you. Look within you, you will see so many signs. So many signs. Think of it this way. Today, we live in an era where there have been made so many advancements in terms of technology. Let's talk about videography. Let's talk about photography. There are so many advancements being made. Yes or no? Today, I'm sure if I were to ask for a show of hands, all of us would say we have smartphones with us. And with every smartphone, these days, the smartphones come equipped with a camera. Yes or no? You have it ranging from 8 megapixels to 12, 16, some have even gone up to 20, 40 even, the Nokia ones. Yeah? So, with the cameras, if I were to take a picture now, yeah, I would have to focus and take a picture. MashaAllah, if I were to take Brother Mudathir, I would take him nice and smart and he would come crisp and clear, yes? Because the camera is focused on him and I will get a good clear picture. But on the other hand, say I want to take the picture of the brother sleeping at the back there, I would have to turn the camera there and focus. Say if I were to do it quickly, and if I did not give enough time for the camera to focus, what would happen? Or say if I would take Muzammil, mashallah, what would happen is I would get a blurred picture. Yes or no? Because if I did not give enough time for the camera to focus, I would get a blurred picture. Yeah? But if I give it some time to focus, alhamdulillah, I would get a crisp picture. And now, in terms of focus, you take the models like LG and whatnot, you get something called laser autofocus. I hope I'm not getting too technical here. Where it happens within a few seconds. The point that I wish to highlight is look at your eyes. Look at your eyes. Now here I am looking at the brother in front of me wearing a nice green turtleneck, mashallah. He looks smart, yeah? And at the same time, if I wanted to look someone at the back over there, all I have to do is look at him and I can see him crisp and clear. Do you see me doing any tweaking and any focusing, any auto-focusing? Everything is happening so seamlessly. You're not doing anything. It's happening automatically. Yes or no? By the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, look at the signs. Talk about your tongue. It's a piece of flesh without any bones. And with it you are articulating so many words. There was once a survey done as to how many words an average adult articulates given in a given day. And they came to a conclusion that on average, a male speaks about 10,000 words per day. And a female speaks about 25,000 words per day. Anyway, the point that I want to highlight is that, look, how many words, how many powerful words. I mean, your words can break an individual at times. Yeah? And look at the amount of languages prevalent on the face of this earth. You know, at the mere thought, we can switch languages. I'm speaking Arabic now. I can speak a little Urdu. See, I'm switching languages. And the ones who can understand in the crowd can understand it. But don't you think it's powerful? Look at the processing speed. The signals are traveling to the database to, you know, play with the words, take the words out, and I'm speaking it out to you. It's all happening seamlessly. There has to be a creator, there has to be a maker for all of this. But if you just sit down, but you see, sometimes what happens today is that we are all caught up in this rat race, where we're all hankering and running behind dunya. I'm not saying that it's haram. As long as we have our priorities straight, we are running behind acquiring materialistic assets that we just don't have time to sit down, ponder and reflect about the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I was in Malaysia a couple of months back, and I did a bit of talk on the art of contemplation. Contemplation, tadabbur. There's an art to it, because it is a field that requires discipline, that requires creativity. It is an art where you spend time contemplating on the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, contemplating on life, contemplating on yourself, contemplating on the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's so much to contemplate about, but today our schedules are so tied up that we wake up in the morning, we're running, running, running. Yes, every single day is a race. You wake up in the morning, it's on your marks, get set, go. But then you have to understand that you need to fixate your focus onto Al-Akhirah, because that is the eternal destination. This is basically a transit. I flew in from Colombo, Sri Lanka. My transit was in Qatar for a couple of hours. Now, does it make sense for me to unpack my bags and, mashallah, set up everything there as if I'm going to be there permanently? Now, here I am. I'm here for about a week. So, yes, I would unpack my bags. Just I'm talking about unpacking bags. But here we are building houses and mansions and buying expensive motor vehicles, none of which is haram. But we're going to leave it someday. كُلُّ نَفْسٍ ذَائِقَةُ الْمَوْتِ. Every soul shall inevitably taste death. We don't have any guarantee that we can even walk outside the Holloway Masjid after Salatul Isha. We don't have a guarantee. It's so short, temporary and transitory, this life. So let us use every single minute of time that we have to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Don't while it away refuting others, judging others, backbiting about others, gossiping, suspecting. Shaitan uses all these traps, all these snares to trap us and make us while away our time. Sometimes, you know, we gather. On an average day, we meet friends, we have gatherings of this nature, gatherings of a good nature, we have meetings. But sometimes what happens is we while away our time in those meetings by gossiping about others, by backbiting about others. You backbite about others, it is akin to consuming the flesh of your dead brother. Once the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, please remember salawat, and I mention his beautiful name, he was walking with a group of his sahaba radhiyallahu ta'ala alaihim ajma'in. Suddenly he called for one individual and he called for another individual. He called for so and so and called for so and so, and he took them further ahead, and there was a carcass of a dead animal there. He looked at them both and said, get down and start eating that, the dead meat. The incident goes along the lines of these words. These two sahaba, these two individuals, were, you know, shocked. They said, Ya Rasulullah, how are we to eat from the carcass? And the companions who were with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they were also shocked as to why Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was asking these two sahaba to eat from the carcass. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam went on to clarify that it is better for you two to eat from the carcass than what you were doing a couple of moments back. You were eating the flesh of your dead brother by backbiting about him. Today, we backbite so easily. We actually, you know, enjoy backbiting about others. There's not a meeting that passes by except that we have to talk bad about someone. Only then the meeting is complete, mashallah, alhamdulillah. We feel satisfied. Ah, I spoke about somebody. It's sad, you know. And then just imagine, if that brother hears about it, it's going to result in a rift, in a strife between you and him. Once Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he asked the Sahaba radhiyallahu ta'ala alayhim ajma'in, hadith is in Muslim, oh my Sahaba, do you know what ghiba is? Ghiba. They all said, Allah wa Rasuluhu a'lam. Allah and His Messenger know best. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they went on to define ghiba. He said, ghiba is to talk behind the back of your brother. Is to talk bad behind the back of your brother or sister, or to talk something behind the back of your brother or sister. If they were to get to know of it, they would be extremely hurt, upset. You know, if they were to get to know about it, they would be hurt and extremely upset. This is ghiba. Then one of the companions asked Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "Ya Rasulullah, what if I spoke something about my brother or sister behind their backs, and what if it was something true? What if it was something true?" Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Only if it is true, it is considered ghiba. Only if it is true, it is considered ghiba, and that is evil. On the other hand, if you lie about your brother or sister behind their backs, it is known as buhtan, and that is something much more evil than ghiba. It's at a higher degree. It's much more evil than ghiba. If you speak the truth about your brother, something undesirable, maybe in regard to his appearance or something he did perhaps, something that if you were to speak in his presence, it would hurt him, it would upset him. You're speaking it behind his back, it is true, it is known as ghiba. But if you lie against your brother, it is buhtan, something much more evil than ghiba." Our Maker, he states in Surah Al-Hujurat,
يا أيها الذين آمنوا اجتنبوا كثيرا من الظن إن بعض الظن إثم ولا تجسسوا ولا يغتب بعضكم بعضا أيحب أحدكم أن يأكل لحم أخيه ميتا فكرهتموه واتقوا الله إن الله تواب رحيم.
يا أيها الذين آمنوا, O you who have brought in iman, اجتنبوا كثيرا من الظن, stay away from negative assumptions. إن بعض الظن إثم, some thoughts, some assumptions are indeed evil, are indeed sinful. ولا تجسسوا, do not spy, don't play detective games, don't fish for faults. ولا يغتب بعضكم بعضا, and do not backbite about one another. أيحب أحدكم أن يأكل لحم أخيه ميتا, will any of you like to consume the flesh of your dead brother? فكرهتموا, you would dislike it, you would despise it, you would hate it. واتقوا الله, fear Allah, be conscious of Allah. Inna Allah tawwabur rahim, Allah is all forgiving, the most merciful. So stay away from backbiting. Rather, go in front of the mirror and judge yourself. Take account of yourself. You and I, we have so many faults within us, so many flaws within us. But instead, we go about judging this individual, that individual, saying that he is flawed, he has got a defect, whilst we have all the defects within us. So coming back to the five factors, where did we drift a bit? Number one, shirk. Number two, bid'ah. Number three, forgot, huh?
Heedlessness,
ghafla, right? Number four, shahwa, evil and carnal desires. You need to free your heart from shahwa, evil and carnal desires. Because the minute you start giving into your base desires, your evil and carnal desires, what happens is you very easily start to break the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You start falling into the pit of the prohibitions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Say for example, in terms of fornication, in terms of adultery, what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say in the noble Quran?
وَلَا تَقْرَبُوا الزِّنَا إِنَّهُ كَانَ فَاحِشًا إنه كان فاحشة وساء سبيلا.
ولا تقربوا الزنا, don't even think of getting close to zina. Allah Azza wa Jal did not say ولا تزنوا, do not commit zina, do not commit adultery. Instead, Allah Azza wa Jal said, don't even think of getting close to zina. So even the avenues that lead to zina, stay away from those. If you think that if you go to a certain meeting, if you go to a certain function, that it might lead to you falling into the pit of zina, then stay away from that meeting, stay away from that function. Talking about social media, you really can't ask a scholar for a direct fatwa in regard to social media as to, you know, it's not black and white, you can't say whether it's halal or haram. You can use it for good purposes, It's permissible. On the other hand, if you use it for bad purposes, then you must stay away from it. But if you fear that me being on social media, I may fall into the pit of zina, then you must stay away from social media. وَلَا تَقْرَبُ الزِّنَا. Don't even think of getting close to zina. So don't give in to your evil and carnal desires, because there are many forces of evil at work. Sometimes certain individuals, they want to know, in the month of Ramadan, the devils are all shackled up, they're all locked up, you know? They're all locked up. So how come we feel these urges and desires to do sin? You need to understand that it is not only shaitan at work here. You have something known as the nafs as well. And the nafs is within you. Each and every one of us, we all have nufus. وَمَا أُبَرِّيُ نَفْسِي إِنَّ النَّفْسَ لَأَمَّارَةٌ بِالسُّوءٍ. In Surah Yusuf. وَمَا أُبَرِّيُ نَفْسِي. Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam says, I'm not free of my nafs. إِنَّ النَّفْسَ لَأَمَّارَةٌ بِالسُّوءٍ. Indeed, the nafs is always inclining towards evil, towards sin. So our nafs that is within us keeps on pushing us towards sin. So we, on the other hand, must fight those urges, must fight those desires, and free our hearts from the shackles of such evil and carnal desires. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us all to do so. The final factor is al-hawa, vain desires. Vain desires. Where you start doing whatever you're doing for name and fame, for the pomp and show, for the limelight and publicity. Say for example, you come to the masjid to be known as a righteous individual. You make it to the first row to be known as a pious individual. You dish out charity to be known as a philanthropist. You're doing it all for show. You contaminate your intention. You contaminate that pure ikhlas. What did we say in terms of the beautiful statement of Imam Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah? If the tree of love is planted in your heart and watered, وَسُقِيَتْ بِمَاءِ الْإِخْلَاصِ, and watered with the pure waters of ikhlas, only then that tree will start to bear fruits for you. On the other hand, if you say, I love Allah, I love Allah, I love Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and whatever you're doing it for name and fame, you're doing it for show, for riya, it's not going to be accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All those deeds that you strove so hard to do will be accumulated and thrown in your face. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us all. So we stay away from hawa, we stay away from vain desires. Now as a final note, swiftly I want to touch on a few poisons that kill an individual's heart. Number one, excessive talking. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is reported to have said, the one who believes in Allah on the last day, فَلْيَقُلْ خَيْرًا أَوْ لِيَسْمُتْ. Let him speak good or let him or remain silent. Excessive talking. Sometimes we don't think before we speak. We just blurt out whatever comes to our minds and our tongues, resulting in a lot of damage being done. Sometimes we just blurt out. We say that, you know what, brother? I speak out my mind, so please excuse me. And then you just spit out everything that comes there. Harsh words. You break people's hearts. You cause a strife between two families at times, between two spouses, between friends. And you're going to be held accountable for all of that. So think before you speak. Some of our Salafun as-Salih, our pious predecessors, they used to fill their mouths with tiny pebbles, tiny rocks, to avoid speaking unnecessarily. So always think before you speak. I just said about the survey, yeah? 10,000 words. From those 10,000 words, at times just sit down and think, how many of those words are pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? How many of those words don't benefit me in this world nor the hereafter? Just, you know, vain speech sometimes. Heedless talk. Think before you speak. Every word of yours should be a word that promotes goodness, that pleases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We should never ever speak something that would anger Allah azza wa jal. So number one, excessive talking. The next poison that I would like to touch on is unrestrained glances. Allah azza wa jal states in Surah An-Nur, قُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَغُضُّوا مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ وَيَحْفَظُوا فُرُوجَهُمْ ذَلِكَ أَزْكَى لَهُمْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ خَبِيرٌ بِمَا يَصْنَعُونَ. Say, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, tell the believing men to lower their gazes and protect their private parts. ذَلِكَ أَزْكَى لَهُمْ. That is better for them, that is more pure for them. إِنَّ اللَّهَ خَبِيرٌ بِمَا يَصْنَعُونَ. Indeed, Allah is well aware, well informed of all that you do. In another place, Allah Azza wa Jalla says, يَعْلَمُ خَائِنَةَ الْأَعْيُنِ وَمَا تُخْفِي الصُّدُورِ. He knows the stealing of your eyes. At times, you know, we steal away those glances. Allah knows about those glances. And Allah knows that which you hide and conceal in your hearts. So let us fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because these two eyes of ours are windows to our heart. The more you look at junk, the more you look at nonsense, the more you look at evil things, all that goes into your heart and corrupts your heart. It's like a window. Two windows to your heart. The more you look at evil, dirty things, it contaminates and dirties your heart. But on the other hand, when you restrain your gaze, when you control your glances, that results in your heart remaining soft, supple and pure. The next poison, excessive eating. Excessive eating. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam is reported to have said that the worst utensil the son of Adam can fill is his own stomach. Excessive eating, where you know, become like a glutton. You eat so much, you eat excessively, more than how much you require. So that results in you becoming lethargic, becoming lazy. You don't want to do good deeds. It results in your carnal desires increasing. You want to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because you can't keep your carnal desires at check. If you feel like you are an individual who can't control your carnal desires, okay, the best remedy would be to fast. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is reported to have said in the hadith of nikah, Ya ma'ashar al-shabab, man istata'a minkum al-ba'ata falyatazawwaj. Right? O youth, the one who can afford it, and when we say afford, financially as well as physically, he should get married. But for the one who cannot, then فَعَلَيْهِ بِالصَّوْمِ, he should fast. فَإِنَّهُ لَهُ وِجَاءَ, because it will be like an armor for him, an armor that will protect him. You need to don this armor if you're feeling like you can't control your carnal evil desires. So excessive eating results in you giving into your carnal desires. As you can see, everything is connected. I spoke about five factors. Shahwa and excessive eating is very closely connected. If you give in to excessive eating, you start giving in to your shahwa, resulting in your heart hardening and you being distancing away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it is from the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to divide your stomach into three parts. One third for solid, one third for liquids, and one third for air. This is from the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So my dear brothers and sisters in Islam, let us stay away from these poisons. Let us not kill our hearts. Let us work on looking into the mirror, taking account of ourselves, and purifying our hearts. And remember, time is of the essence, like I said. We have very little time with us. Our Maker promises upon time in the noble Quran, wal asr. In another place, he promises, wal fajr, by the daybreak. وَاللَّيْلِ إِذَا يَغْشَى, by the night as it envelops. وَالنَّهَارِ إِذَا تَجَلَّى, by the morning. وَالضُحَى, by the forenoon. He promises upon different portions of time to highlight something very important. That time is of the essence. Time is extremely valuable. Time is one of the most valuable assets and commodities that we have with us. A minute gone, you cannot get it back even if you were to spend £1 million. You need to use every single second you have, every single minute you have, to do as many good deeds as possible and to secure a legacy. A legacy that resonates of goodness throughout the annals of time. Just like the legacy of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Just like the legacies of the Sahaba ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhim ajma'in. Think about your legacy. Ask yourself, what is the legacy I am going to leave behind? Because we are all going to leave this world and go away. We are all going to move on. But then our legacies will remain behind. But sometimes we don't even give a second thought to our legacies. We don't even think about our legacies. Today we talk about Umar radiallahu anh, we talk about Abu Bakr radiallahu anh. 1400 odd years after them, we haven't forgotten them because of the amazing legacies they left behind. Do you want to be forgotten in a matter of months, in a matter of years after you pass away? Then think about doing great deeds. You have it within you. Be positive, be optimistic, just like Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We are all followers of the greatest optimist to ever walk on the face of this earth. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We have it within us. We have the potential within us. We have to believe that we can. And if we do, we can. We really can. But some of us, you know, we have got this inferiority complex where we look down upon ourselves. We think of ourselves as zero. But no, in reality, you can do it. Don't give in to a superiority complex where you get in pride, arrogance and takabbur. Strike a balance in the middle and be optimistic.
Every dark cloud has a silver lining. There's always a light at the end of the tunnel. So don't ever lose hope. Yes, perhaps you're going through a patch of trouble. You're going through a little bit of trials and challenges in life. This is part and parcel of life. Everybody goes through trials and challenges. Each and every one of us in the crowd, we are all fighting our own battles. Sometimes we smile through those battles, and you might think, oh, this individual, how lucky. He's running around in a good vehicle. He's got a good spouse, good children, a good house. What worry does he have? But sometimes you don't know. Maybe the brother is finding it difficult to sleep. Maybe he's suffering from a terminal disease. You don't know. Sometimes maybe his business is drowning. You don't know. We are all fighting battles at the end of the day. Each and every one of us. All of our lives are riddled with trials and challenges. And the individuals who went through the most challenges were the Prophets alayhimu salatu wasalam. Which one of you, can you tell me? Which one of you was thrown into the middle of a blazing fire when you were young? Hands up. Into the middle of a huge bonfire. Anyone in the crowd? Which one of you was thrown into the bottom of a deep, dark well, an abandoned well by your own siblings? Your own brother put you into a well. Which one of you was sold in the marketplace as a slave? Which one of you lost your father? Not just there, right? Listen to me, listen to the whole thing. Which one of you lost your father before you were even born, and then lost your mother, lost your grandfather, lost your uncle, lost your wife, lost your son? One after the other. And you were chased out from your from the land that you were born in. And then you go to another land and they stone you and chase you out from there. Which one of you? And who are these individuals, those stories I'm mentioning? Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, middle of the blazing fire. His own people, his own father, they all got together, built a fire and catapulted him into it. Into the well, Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, little Yusuf, his own siblings, his own brothers went and chucked him into a well. And then a caravan comes about, and you might think, he might have thought, it's a rescue team, come to, you know, rescue me and take me to my father. But no, they take him prisoner and go and sell him in a marketplace. And then what happens? After a period of time, the house that he's working in, the mistress of the house tries to seduce him. And then he's thrown into prison. He remains in prison for so many years. Which one of us have gone through such trials? And the last few trials I mentioned, our own beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The greatest of prophets, the most beloved of prophets to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah azza wa jal put him through so many trials. He loses his father, he loses his mother, loses his grandfather, loses his uncle, loses his wife, loses his son. His own people, the kuffar of Makkah, the Quraysh of Makkah, the pagans of Makkah chase him out. He goes to Ta'if, they belt him, they stone him, they chase him from Ta'if. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But have you ever heard of any of these prophets? Ayyub alayhi salatu wasalam. When you say Ayyub, you remember patience. When you say patience, you remember Ayyub. Ayyub is like a synonym to patience. But have you ever come across in their stories that the prophets gave up? I can't do it anymore. Ya Allah, why are you putting me through so many trials and challenges? Ibrahim, sacrifice your son. Khalas, they go ahead. Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. How many trials and challenges, subhanallah. But they never gave up. And you might think that they would have said, Ya Allah, we are your beloved prophets. Why are you testing us today? You know, we at times say blasphemous things, don't we? Why is life so unfair, just only on me? Why is God so unfair? Sometimes blasphemous statements. We question the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You have to understand that everything that is happening in your life is happening according to the plan of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah knows best. Hasbunallahu wa ni'mal wakeel, ni'mal mawla wa ni'mal nasir. Allah is sufficient for us. He is the best disposer of all of our affairs. So don't lose hope. Place your trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and keep sailing through. For after all, this life is temporary. The pleasures of this life are temporary. The problems of this life are temporary. The trials of this life are temporary. The akhirah is where we are headed. That is our destination. So fixate your focus there. Work for that. Secure great investments that will reap amazing rewards for you in Al-Akhirah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive all of our sins. May He accept our good deeds. And just as how He unites us here in this beautiful masjid, may He unite us in the gardens of Jannah with our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Ameen wa akhir da'wa. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Jazakum Allah khair.